Hi. I don't know some of you. So my name's Lacey Dawn. I used to be a Lutzman. I'm a Lepke now, and I come bearing three beautiful children, one that you'll probably hear and see while I'm speaking. He might try and come climb up on me. That's kind of a thing. He doesn't so much like other people other than mom, so that's neat. It has been a long time since I've preached a sermon, three kids ago, to be exact. So when my dad asked me if I would, I said no, mostly because the dates didn't work, and then somebody had the nerve to change their date or something, and he called again and asked. So I don't know who Marilyn is, but anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. It's been a while since any of you probably have chatted with me. So I live in Summerland. I moved there after going to Bible college in Abbotsford. I am a work-at-home mom. That's a thing. So I stay home with my three beautiful children. Avea is six, Braylee is four, and Preston is one. And Preston loves mom, so he makes my life very interesting. And I run the administrative bookkeeping side of an electrical contracting company that me and my husband own. This is not what the plan was, FYI. Not what I envisioned I'd be doing at this stage of life, but this is where I am, and God is still good, right? I mentioned I went to Bible college, so my plan was to be working with youth for the rest of my life, to do something big, something great, and although I believe God's still doing that, it's not in the way that maybe I thought I'd be sitting, holding a baby, balancing a bank account. But God is good. I did work as a youth pastor for 7 years in Summerland, followed that and overlapping that, working at a youth center in Summerland for another five. And I loved it. But then, as most of you probably know, when the babies start coming, one, two, three, the situation and the priorities tend to change. And thank goodness. And thank goodness my husband had the foresight to start a business so that I could have a job where I could stay home and take care of our beautiful kids. But I thought, as I'm learning how to bookkeep, because I didn't know how to do it, on the job and doing all these things, I thought maybe I had misheard God. Like, wasn't I supposed to be doing something else? Did I not hear you? Did I not answer your call? I wanted to serve you. What's going on here? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. I entitled my message, Serving God Right Here, Right Now. And of all things, like, God has the funniest sense of humor, I think. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but he said, hey, Lacey Dawn, in your home church, maybe with your dad sitting there, let's talk about Rahab the prostitute. Sure, that sounds fun. But it really relates to what God's been speaking to my heart over this past year, especially this past year. My third kid has been my most challenging kid. He literally does not come off of me. And it's been hard, and God's been kind of been struggling with, how am I serving God? What am I doing? And just like God spoke to Samuel on the mountain in a small whisper, not in the big earthquake, not in the rushing winds, but in a small whisper, he spoke to me, telling me that you are serving God where I put you right now, and you're exactly where you're meant to be. And I was so thankful that he said that, because there's so many opportunities I would love to jump on and take a hold of and run with, but I just can't. There are children to take care of and a business to run. So I've decided just to say yes, to give what I have, what I can do, while still prioritizing my kids. And that's what God calls us all to do, to serve God where we are, with what we have, with whatever resources, with whatever we can. And that's what Rahab did. She served God with the very little that she had, and set an amazing example for us. We're going to read the story from the Bible, which I had to borrow from my mom because of all things to forget. You guessed it, I forgot my Bible. So, but I remembered all the kids, so it's okay. But I don't like reading from my phone to read the Bible, so I borrowed this well-loved one from my mom. I'm just going to remind you what's going on with the Israelites before I read the story. It's going to be from Joshua 2 if you want to look it up in your Bible or your phone or your pew Bible, whatever you have. The Israelites had come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and as you know, they weren't allowed to enter the Promised Land right away. That would be too easy. So 40 years later, after a whole generation has died, there they are in Moab, and Moses, the final one to pass away, dies and names Joshua, son of Nun, as his successor, which everybody was pretty much on board with because he had been Moses' right-hand man. You know, they kind of saw it coming, so it was okay. And then they stayed in Moab for 30 days because that's the period of mourning for the Israelites. Then they left Moab and camped near the Jordan River. What next? Then God spoke to Joshua, giving him assurance, not insurance, I don't think so, of their victory over Canaan. In Joshua 1:3, it says, God speaking to Joshua, I will give you every place you walk, wherever your feet touch, just as I promised Moses. And after this is where we're going to jump in and read right from the Bible the whole story, Joshua 2:1-22. In my notes, it says this takes 3 minutes. We'll see. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went, and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and have entered into your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and had hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof to dry. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that led to the ford of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Then the men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside the house, into the streets, his blood will be on his own head. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she said. She replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there for 3 days, until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the 2 men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. It's a great story, and I could probably leave it there, because what better words than the words straight from the Bible, but I think I'm supposed to fill a little bit more time, so we're going to dig into the story a little bit here. So here the Israelites are. They're about to cross the Jordan River, and God has told them to take Jericho. Now, we've heard this so many times that, yeah, we're going to take Jericho, but Jericho is a huge city. It is, I looked it up, 430,000 square feet, and was surrounded by a stone wall which was 11.8 feet tall and 5.9 feet wide at the base. This is a big wall. And inside the wall was a stone tower, 28 feet high and 30 feet wide at the base, with an internal staircase with 22 steps. This was not a battle that the Israelites were going to win on their own, and they knew it. I mean, it was pretty obvious that their small army wasn't going to defeat the most fortified city in Canaan with these walls and these armies. So they were out for some assurance. And I don't think any of us can blame Joshua for sending someone to check it out, right? It didn't mean that Joshua didn't have faith. It didn't mean that he didn't believe God when he said, I will give you all the land. I will give it everywhere your feet touched. It's not about a lack of faith. Joshua was being diligent in the battle that the Lord was calling him to. It's not a bad idea to check it out first. He knew God was with him, but he also didn't want to be unprepared. There's a prayer from the Christian and Jewish tradition that goes like this. Pray as if everything depends on God, but work like everything depends on us. And I love that because I think it translates into our lives so much, and it certainly did for the Israelites there. Believing and having faith in God is absolutely essential, and it's fantastic. But that doesn't mean that we don't work towards what God has planned for us. I think about when I went to Bible college. I knew the end goal, you know, graduate, get good grades, get a job, do what God called you to do. But me working towards that goal changed me more and grew my faith more than actually reaching the goal. And I think that's often the story as we walk through the plans that God has for our life. And we might be in the midst of walking towards something right now. So Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, sends out these two spies in secret. And I think it's so interesting that they put that in there, that he did it in secret, because I don't know if you remember 40 years earlier when Moses sent out the spies, he did not send them in secret, and it was a bit of a disaster. Because when those spies came back, do you remember the song, 10 were bad, 2 were good? Well, everybody heard it, and they were terrified, and they couldn't take the land. So Joshua, being wiser by experience and by age, he's getting really old by now, sent them out in secret, good call, to see what they're up against. And when the spies came into Jericho, they were trying to stay on the down low, stay anonymous, so they went to look for lodging where they could kind of scope it out. So they found themselves at Rahab's house, who was a known harlot in Jericho. Now, she was also an innkeeper, so she would have had rooms to rent, so says all the research and people much smarter than me writing commentaries about this. But there is little to no debate that she was a harlot, a prostitute. The only debate existing on this is debunked, and because people didn't really want to see Rahab, a prostitute, in the lineage of Christ, trying to disprove it. But it was well known. It was not a secret in Jericho. Rahab, likely estranged from her family. It was very uncommon for a woman to live on her own when her family was clearly still alive, as she had asked for them to spare her mother and father, brothers and sisters, yet she lived alone. So probably estranged from her family. Now, when the Israelites came to her, it was a tradition in that land that it was expected for a host to protect her guests. So, you know, there's some dangers, some things going on. It was expected that if you were hosting people, you're a good host, you protect your guests. But I think it's very clear here that Rahab is doing a little bit more than what Eastern tradition requires of her. She's doing a little bit more than protecting them from a storm by, I don't know, drawing the blinds, whatever. She's putting her very life on the line for them and made a deal with them. She had heard stories about this God, you see, of the Israelites, probably from the men that had been in and out of her inn. She had heard that the waters of the Red Sea had dried up, that they had destroyed the kings of the Amorites. And she professes in verse 11, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She couldn't have known that. She couldn't have known that except for God working in her heart. I think it's amazing as we're reading through a story of a prostitute in a land of heathens that we're seeing God plunking faith into a woman's heart. God had clearly led these spies to Rahab's house. I don't think you can argue me on that. He knew that she would be faithful to him, knowing what was already going on in her heart. So when the kings, they sent men to bring the Israelite spies out of Rahab's house, they must have heard they were in there. People see things, you know. Rahab was not fearsome of her king. This is big. The king could take her life. If he knew she was lying, if he thought maybe she was lying, he had the right. He could take her life right there. But she was not fearsome of the king or his armies. I would be fearsome of the king. She had more fear of the Israelites' God that she was maybe hoping was the true God than she did of her king. This is amazing. She had, for just a sliver of hope that she had, a little bit of faith that God would accept her and spare her, she turned against her own people. She risked death to save the spies for just the chance of it. She decided that it was worth the risk. It's amazing. In the midst of harlotry, God is working in her heart, choosing her to save the spies, to help the Israelites take the land that God promised to them. At this point in the story, Rahab's faith I can't help but make it think about my faith. I mean, she turned away from everything she knew, everything, just in case God was real, just in case what she heard was actually true. Yet here I am, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. And I think to myself, how strong is my faith? I feel like I have more than a sliver. What am I willing to turn away from or turn to? Rahab, though her faith was small, it was life-altering. Just a little bit of faith, it was life-altering. It was history-changing. And it makes me think, what would happen if we took our little bit of faith, our sliver of hope, and offered it to God to use? Because God is faithful with whatever faith we have. Example, let's look at the promise that Rahab made, or the spies made to Rahab. Rahab confesses to the spies that the men of Jericho are trembling in fear. They're melting. They don't know, they're besides themselves because they've heard what God has done. Then she asks, not just for herself, but for her family, that God would save them. And of course, if we jump ahead, Joshua 7:22-23, God is faithful to the promise, and the spies go back and bring her out. And she then from henceforth lives as part of the Israelite clan in the promised land and ends up in the lineage of our Savior. It's amazing what God can do with a little bit of faith. A good sermon has 3 points. I learned that in Bible college. I was only going to have 2, and then I was talking to my sister on the phone, and we came up with an hour. So. Kind of kidding. I was texting with my sister. It only takes a little bit of faith to serve God. Such a little bit, because he is faithful. He doesn't require for us to have it all together, have our life wrapped up into a little bow. I mean, Rahab, a heathen prostitute, for example. We don't have to be a pastor, a missionary, have a position, have anything. God will use you whatever faith you have. Rahab had just a thought of faith, an inkling of the stories that she heard, that they might be true. And with that faith, God used her to save her and her entire family. And with that, God honored her by giving her a place in the history of the Israelites. So what kind of faith do you have? Enough to obey God? I think so. An inkling? It's enough. We don't need to wait until we're in a better place to say yes to whatever it is that God is asking of us. Rahab said yes in the midst of harlotry. Just remember that if you're struggling. We can say yes now, and God will be faithful to honor obedience. Now, you may think I'm talking about doing something big, you know, doing something for God, going, you know, but that's not the point here. The point is that we cannot hide behind thinking we're not good enough or our faith isn't strong enough, because God is big enough, and his faithfulness is strong enough. It's not about finding something big to do for God. It's believing that he is faithful and that he's enough. And we trust in our faith, not in our faith, but in God's faithfulness. So that's number one. It only takes a little bit of faith. The second thing is that God can use you right where you are. Rahab was in a place far from God, not just in her lifestyle and beliefs and practices, but physically. She was surrounded in a walled city surrounded by heathens. She was physically far from God, or so she thought. We know God is always with us. She lived in a city where nobody knew anything about the one true God, surrounded by sin and unlawful living. Yet God made a way. Of all people, nobody would have thought that God would choose to use a prostitute in Jericho of all places. But he did. When we think that we're far from God, whether in our hearts, you know, we can't muster faith, can't muster up the desire to be with God or study God's word, or maybe you find yourself unable to do the things that you used to do to serve God, or maybe you can't do the things that you want to do for God because of physical limitations or situations, circumstances. The good news is that we are not the prerequisite for God to use us. His faithfulness is. And his faithfulness is never changing. So wherever you find yourself, spiritually or physically, God is still faithful. In the everyday, in your conversation, your errands, your work, God is faithful and can use you right where you are. Oh, Preston. And it's kind of funny because literally as I was writing this, so I had to get a babysitter to write this. You can understand why. So I was sitting in a coffee shop and I was kind of stumped. I'm like, yeah, God can use you right where you are. That's so true. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm stuck. And in walks my friend Aaliyah. And Aaliyah's 20 years old, and she is a lovely girl. I met her when I was waitressing at a local restaurant. I've worked there on and off for years. If you don't know something about me, I love waitressing and just keep going back to it. Anyway, she was a busser when I met her, and she's so lovely, and she loves kids. So, and I'm a youth worker, so on it goes, and she now comes over to my house and hangs out with my kids, and they adore her and call her Miss Aaliyah, and it's just the sweetest thing. So she walks in. She is not a Christian. What are you working on? And we get talking and just working on, like, this sermon. She's like, well, I don't know anything about the Bible, but you can try me out. Maybe I can help you. So God can use you wherever you are. I end up preaching this sermon to Miss Aaliyah in the beanery. And it didn't even occur to me till that night where I was praying, God, like, what am I going to write? Like, I'm kind of stuck. And he's like, hello. Like, I just showed you exactly how I work. And I was blown away. I can't believe it took me that long to realize what he was doing. But God used that in the midst of, like, it's a bit of a chaotic coffee shop. And she sits down and asks for me to preach to her. Come on. Right? As if God isn't working in her heart. So I'm kind of excited for Miss Aaliyah. My girls pray for her. It's really cute. And we'll see what happens. But God truly is faithful if we'll just say, sure, I'll preach my sermon to you in the beanery. No problem. That's not awkward. And it wasn't. God just... I'm sorry. The third thing is that we get to choose where our loyalties lie, no matter what our past is. Back to Rahab, she had no history of faith. She had no knowledge of the God of the Israelites. The people of Jericho served many other gods, not Yahweh. All they knew were the stories, and they were fearful. Yet when it came down to it, Rahab was able to make the choice to who she was going to be loyal to. She chose what path her life was going to take, and it would have been easier for her to turn back and hope in her people. Their protection, it looked like they had a ton of protection, walled city, big armies. She could have turned back to pray to the God she was familiar with and hope in them, but something told her that there was more, that there was truth about this God that she had heard about. Perhaps it was sparked by the fear that Yahweh had struck into them, but something made her choose God. no matter the fact that she, what her past was, she was able to choose where she was going to be loyal. And we all have the same choice to make. And not just right when we choose to serve God, but every day. To choose where we'll put our loyalty and our faith, no matter where it was, where it currently is, or what's going on in our life. Will we put it in something familiar, something easy, something comfortable? Or we listen to the small whisper that's drawing us to the truth. And I'm not saying choosing God is always the hard thing to do. When we know God and we know his goodness, sometimes that's the easy thing to do, to run to God. But it's our choice to choose who we're going to run to, what we're going to run to. It would have been easier for Rahab to turn the spies in. It would have been way easier. She would have likely been rewarded, as a matter of fact. She would have not been in danger from the kings and his armies. She could have taken the comfortable and the familiar, but she decided in a moment to change her loyalty, to ensure that her past would not define her future. So my question for all of us is, will our past define our future? Will you remain where you are, or will you listen to God's whisper and realign your loyalty to him rather than the things that we might be putting our faith in? Oh, that boy. I'm going to conclude with a quote from my sister. Some of you may know my sister, Patience. I was at the end of writing this and texting her. She's like, what are you doing? And I told her what I was working on. And she texts me this. Something about us humans wants to believe in God. And I think as soon as we give a little faith to him, we seek him at all. He grabs a hold and makes something in us want to believe in his truth. And I said, I'm going to put that in there. She's like, don't you dare. I'm going to think of something better. I'm like, that is it right there. Something in us wants to believe in God. And once we give him a little bit, he grabs hold of it and makes it into something. He grabs hold. Rahab had just this little sliver, and God grabbed a hold of it and made it flourish. It's amazing. God is willing and able to grab hold of whatever sliver of faith we have in whatever circumstance, even if us digging into the word means reading the Jesus Adventure Story Bible, because, you know, it's really good. But God will grab a hold of it and make it into something beautiful when we just say yes to him. Let's pray. God, I thank you that everything is in your hands. I thank you that you are in control of all things. And I thank you that we can choose you. God, I pray that these words would sink into our hearts, that your spirit would be at work in us, and that we would choose you every day, that we would say yes to whatever you put in front of us, and that our hearts would beat after you. Thank you, God, for your word and your truth, and that it is ever-changing, and that you are true. In Jesus' name, amen.